Good morning. It's so good to see everybody. We're really excited about our home conference. Please save the date to be able to have the caliber of ministry like Bob and Audrey. Just quite frankly, there are many churches that would love to have them, and they just don't have the space in their itinerant to do that. And that's what is so awesome about forming relationship with people in the body of Christ and ministries. They don't. This is not a church they're guests at, or that they come visit, in the sense of visiting ministry. But they're family here, and many have received ministry not only when they're here presently, but some of the online services and counseling that they do. So we just love them so much. Make sure you save the date. We'll give you more some more information in the weeks to come. It's going to be an amazing, amazing combined men's and women's conference. This is not a marriage conference. This is a men's conference and a women's conference happening at the same time. We're really excited about that. New iPad. Okay. See how we do here. Wow, what a great weekend we had last weekend. Good Friday, two services on Sunday. Man, we had a good time. And a number of stories like the one Christina just shared that are coming back demonstrating that God's at work at Harvest. We had just under 300 people attend the Good Friday service, over 400 people attend the Easter Sunday service, so over 700 people coming over the weekend, 13 people indicating they wanted to come home. So that's what we do, why we do what we do. I just thank you for exercising the power of the invitation. We so appreciate that. And I'd like to kind of point at something as a lead-in to my message today, and that's this. That if we had approached Easter Sunday, or if we approach any Sunday for that matter, just kind of showing up and hope God does something today. And we might even pray, God, would you move in today's service and do something great? And just kind of coming with a hope-so mentality and attitude and just kind of sitting in our chair and waiting for God to do something, I can tell you, I can guarantee you that nothing different would happen in that service than the service before or the service before that. That God moves amongst his people because we are, as we talked about, co-mission. We're on the great commission. God partners with us, and we're doing church in a way that we are together working corporately to see God move powerfully at Harvest and in our city. And when we're doing the Great Commission, and we are cooperating together on mission for Jesus, something beautiful happens as we work together in the gospel. It's important for us to be reminded this morning that we don't vary in our mission at Harvest at all. We try not to. We try to stay on task that people would know God. And they wouldn't know him informationally, but experientially. Have an experience with God and know that he's real. And so the environments here at Harvest, both Sunday services and our small groups and anything that we do, we want the presence of God to be there in a powerful way so people can experience presence. We want people to find freedom. We want the Mephibosheths of the world to know that they don't have to stay in Lodabar, that when you come to the house of God, you can forget about yesterday and what sin defined you as and begin to learn how God sees you. And as you get free, you begin to realize that God has a purpose for your life. And we want people to discover that purpose and then to use that purpose and make a difference in the house of God. So with that lead in today, kind of pointing out we do things at Harvest very intentionally. I want to remind us today of how important it is that we all take these next steps, discover purpose, and that we all would pour out our lives to make a difference. I want to look at the account in John chapter 2 of the wedding of Canaan and Galilee. I'm going to read it through where Jesus turns water into wine. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied. I want to pause there because I'm not going to kind of unpack that, but I just want you, it sounds, in the translation, it sounds nasty. "Woman, stop bothering me." And not one of us would get away with that with our wives, let alone our mothers. And so it's actually a phrase that is, it doesn't translate well, but it's a term of endearment to Mary. It's very honoring. It's incredibly honoring in the way it's written in the original language. And what Jesus is saying as he goes on, my hour has not yet come. In other words, I'm going to go to the cross. My final hour will be a giving of my life. I've come to seek and save the lost. Why are you involving me in this? This is my greater call. This is my greater purpose. And in Mary, as she continues, we're going to see that Jesus actually, this very first miracle, gives us a beautiful analogy, not just in the miraculous, but what his purpose is in the house of God. So let me continue reading. Jesus' mother said to him, they have no more wine. Well, why are you involving me? My hour has not yet come. His mother said to the servants, do whatever he tells you. Nearby stood 6 stone jars, the kind used for Jews in ceremonial washing. There wasn't running water, and so in between the courses of meals, you would get up and wash your hands in these pots, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, fill the jars with water, and so they filled them to the brim. And then he told them, now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet. And they did so. And the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, everyone brings out the choice wine first, then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink, which is actually a bad translation on the NIV's part. It's not that this is a drunk fest as much as it is people are freely drinking. In other words, they're not paying for the wine. It's an open bar. They're freely drinking. There's no sense of, and it reminds us of the scripture in Isaiah that says, come and buy milk and wine with money that you don't have. In other words, there's a free provision of the things of God. They were freely drinking. Say freely. Now, when people freely drink in the natural, yes, things can happen. And they're partying a little too hard. But you save the best wine till now. What Jesus did here in Canaan of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory. People believed in him. Lord, I just ask this morning as you would remind us after such a great week last week, Lord, that can happen every single Sunday. Lord, that you're moving and Holy Spirit life at harvest. There is much to do, but today you're going to speak to the servants of the house. Lord, speak to us now. We're listening. We're getting our hearts ready. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. So as we look at this story, I want to point out a number of principles that I think it teaches us on this occasion of Jesus' first miracle. And there are a number of applications that we could make. I can't make them all. And that's not the purpose of a sermon is to, when we look at a passage of scripture, to explain everything that's there. But what I really believe the Holy Spirit wants to speak to us today, I'm going to shine a light on and help us see it. And that Jesus is at a party. And it's a wedding party. And what happens here really becomes an analogy for us in that the Bible describes that when we get saved, that it's a wedding party, that Jesus, and it's hard to understand these concepts, that Jesus is the bridegroom and his church is the bride, and that there is this intimate connection between God's heart and the church's heart, and the church is made up of individuals, and it's weird because it has gender, and for us guys, I'm a bride? I'm not like a chick. I don't know. That's just weird. How do I write? And it's not like that, but that there is a wedding party. In fact, the Bible says that there will be a literal 7-year party at the end of the age called the marriage supper of the Lamb. that when all is done in this age and the church now is with Jesus for all of eternity, it's described as a marriage. And so I just point to that because here as we talk about what happens in church and what happens in our local church and Jesus at this party that really we can think about, and I hope you know by now that we think Sunday should be a party. We think Sunday should feel like a party, look like a party. And so we've had people come, The smoke in the room is kind of weird in a church. It's not incense, is it? Because I can't smell it or anything. And I was with Father Matt this week, and he was talking about their Easter services, and that a church down the road, he said they actually, you know, it was an old school priest, and he brought out the incense. And I said, oh, no. I said, we're still trying to get the smell out of our church after all of these years. I said, it's like it gets into everything. And he laughed. Okay, I got off track. Incense. I used to be able to do that much easier. Miracle, wedding. Oh, man. Never mind. Incense. Father Matt. What was I talking about? What? Incense. Yeah, I know, but that was the rabbit. That's the rabbit that ran out, the incense. Oh, church being a party. Yeah. Yes. Thank you. Somebody was listening. That was all a test. I actually knew exactly. No, I didn't know where I was. So we believe that. And a church is to be a party. And that party represents, something as we're going to see. And so the wedding party that Jesus was at wasn't like our wedding reception parties today that last for, a couple of hours or several hours, but these lasted several days. They partied hard. And Mary, Jesus's mother, is probably the wedding coordinator, and she discovers a problem. Say, problem. They ran out of wine. And the problem with running out of wine is the party will catch up to no wine at some point. The people will realize that the wine ran out, therefore the party stops, and everybody would go home, because without the wine, there wasn't going to be any more party. And that would be a huge embarrassment for the bride and the bridegroom, because they wanted to have a party. They were celebrating this couple coming together, these two lives being joined, and they knew, the Jewish people knew how to celebrate this, because for them, it had so much messianic significance. And the Bible had talked about all through the Old Testament, this joining of God and his people. And so when Paul says to us in the New Testament, he goes, it's a mystery. It's a mystery that when a man and a woman come together, and it's really Christ in the church. And you hear that being read at weddings. You go, what does that even mean? We don't have the context as New Testament believers. The whole Old Testament was looking to the moment when the Messiah would come and there would be this amazing party, the party that the Jews actually missed, that you and I get to be a part of every single week. So if the wine had run out, the bride and groom would be embarrassed. The master of the banquet would be embarrassed. They intended a party to go on and on and on until it needed to stop, and it would stop, but not until it was supposed to. And so Jesus does the first miracle and turns water into wine and solves the problem and allows the party to continue. Remember last week we talked about the party in Father's house, and this is what we talk about, why Sunday should look like a party. And so when the son came home to the father and made that decision, I'm coming home, our Easter theme, let's prepare a great feast, the father said, and celebrate. For this beloved son of mine was once dead. Remember the son said, you're dead to me, but he for those that were here, you can get that message online if you want to go back to it. And so the father was never dead to the son, but the son cut himself off the way we do when we turn our backs on God and sin. He says, but now he's alive again. He's born again. Once he was lost, but now he's found. And everyone, say everyone, not just the father, not just the person getting saved, but everyone celebrated with overflowing joy. What does overflowing joy look like? Well, God's house is supposed to demonstrate the overflowing joy, because God has overflowing joy in his heart. That's the way God responds God responds. Not just we respond. We're shadowing. God responds every time one lost sinner repents and turns to him. He says to all the angels, let's have a joyous celebration, for that one who is lost is now found. People coming home to the house of God makes for a party. The party makes for people coming home, which makes for a party, which makes for people coming home, which makes for a party, which makes for people coming home. In fact, we didn't go further last week, but the sound of the party was heard into the region that another brother who was really religious, and he didn't like that sound at all. And that's another sermon for another day, but the sound of the party could be heard in the region. And people were drawn to the sound of the party. Throughout the scriptures, let's get back to wine. Not too much back to it. Wine is symbolic for joy, celebration, abundance, and God's blessing. Now the scriptures warn, because of the intoxicating properties of wine, that we are not to be drunk or lose self-control because of wine. So the Bible in the New Testament says, don't be drunk with wine or under the influence of wine to that degree, but instead be filled with, and you're going to finish this for me, but instead be filled with the, try it again, be filled with the, uh-huh. In other words, listen now, the life of the party is not the drunk guy. The life of the party is the Holy Spirit moving in our midst. Three people got that. The life that we've sensed and the joy, the essence of that, the bubbling of that, that's not just us coming and getting our praise on. Oh, I'm going to go to church today. Hallelujah. Yeah. Because that'll wear out. That'll get old. But the life of our party is the Holy Spirit. The wine of what takes place is the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit is active and moving and present, there is wine and there's going to be a party. Amen. Number one, but it's possible for the wine to run out. And that's not that the Holy Spirit runs out, as we're going to see, because he's eternal and he's so desirous to pour himself out. Jesus said, it's better that I go. And now that we're doing church, it's the Holy Spirit that's everywhere at once. And it's his heart that represents Jesus and Jesus's wishes and his church amongst his people. But it's possible that the life of the party starts to diminish. And without that life, the party will be over and we'll have boring church, religious church, and there won't be a sound. So Mary knows that Jesus will know what to do. She doesn't know what he's going to do, but she just knows he's going to know what to do. So she says to the servants, say servants, do whatever he tells you. Do whatever he tells you. At the party, we have people that enjoy the party, and then we have people who serve at the party to make sure that the people can enjoy the party. You can't have a party without people serving. It is impossible to have a great, joyous, overflowing party without having servants. There were servants present. It was the servants that were addressed to solve the problem and keep the wine flowing, because the wine can run out. And so we want the party to continue, but Jesus's mother identifies the people who are going to solve this problem. I don't know how it's going to be solved. I just know he knows what to do. Number two, the wine can run out, and servants were a necessary part of this party. Jesus could have waved his hand. All right, problem solved. I just did the miraculous, my first miracle. It's the prototype. All my miracles are going to be amazing. This one is the first one. It's the definitive one. It's the prototype one. It's the one that's going to speak the loudest. Here we go. No, he didn't do that. He could have done like he did with the blind man, and he could have just spit into the wine barrel. Because that's what he did in a guy's eyes. And I know that's really weird. And it's just, I don't understand that. And I don't know why he did that. And people guess at it. I don't know. I think it's just like, I can just do whatever I want. And even my saliva is anointed. I guess. I don't understand why Jesus spit into the mud and then put it in a guy paste and all of that. And somebody smart may know that. But he could have done that. He didn't. In the first miracle, this miracle, the miracle of the party, he didn't do it by himself. He did it with the servants. Number three, Jesus wanted help. And so the message this morning is help wanted. Help wanted. Jesus didn't need their help. He wanted their help. Say wanted. Uh-huh. He asks the servants to help him in providing the miracle. Jesus wants to partner with you. He wants to partner with me in providing miracles, providing the flow of the wine in the house of God. And it's because there had been servants available to do whatever he said. There has never been a miracle at Harvest without a servant that was willing to step out in faith and hear. And Jesus said, just do whatever I tell you to do. And if you do it, that's called faith. And you step out, you pray, you share, you do whatever Jesus says. There is a miracle. Christina's sharing with a coworker. Jesus does miracles because Jesus was prompting her to say, you need to tell her, I want to heal her. Well, what if you don't? Jesus's problem. He's not embarrassed or caught off guard. But servants who are willing to do whatever he says, it results in a miracle. They didn't know what he was going to ask. Well, the wine ran out. Servants are necessary. Jesus wants help. Number four, Jesus put the servants to work. Or servants at the party serve. They're not at the party to party. They're at the party to... Uh-huh. Nearby stood six stone jars of water, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Aaron, can you bring my buckets up for me? Jesus said to the servants, fill the jars with water. No, this way, bud. Oh, did you tell, you gave him different instructions. Did mom confuse you? Did you want to take a bow, bud? Take a bow. My kid brother, who's 12 years younger than me, and that's why I call him my kid brother, even though he's not my little brother because he's bigger than me, taller and stronger and all those things. He's watching today in our online church, and welcome to everybody who's in our online church today, and we love that you're here with us. And this story I want to tell you is about... Sorry, my Bluetooth just picked up something. Oh, he's on my phone. Oh. Oh, okay, buddy. You're forgiven. I'm still going to take him out because you're still going to watch my phone. And even though it's muted. All right. That is the weirdest thing in the world when your hearing aids start talking to you. You don't know who's talking to you. Is that you, Lord? I'll do anything you say. And so as a kid, my kid brother is watching, and he had a way more privileged life than I did, because by the time 12 years later, I had left home and I wasn't doing chores in the barn anymore. He was. And there was running water in our barn. And so he took a hose and filled up the horse bucket and the chickens and the rabbits and all the other myriads of animals that we have. I had to go out to the hand pump in the middle of winter when it was winter, summer when it was summer. You had to prime that pump because it would lose prime. And you would get it. And so if you don't know what that is, it's a thing with a handle on it. And you would pump it, pour some water in it to get a prime. And you know, and then it would grab prime. And there'd be a vacuum and the water would start to come out and water would come out. And I would put, I think I was 8 or 9 when I started, and I couldn't carry a 5-gallon bucket. I'd watch my dad do it and go, one day I'm going to be big and carry a big bucket. I'm going to be able to carry lots of water. So I'd start with a little little bucket when you're 8 or 9. You can't carry it all, but you put as much as you can in it. And you carry it into the barn, and then you pour it into the horse bucket. And boy, the horse had a couple 5-gallon buckets, so that took a little bit. And then when I got older, and I could use the 5-gallon bucket. If you've ever carried a 5-gallon bucket full of water, you gotta have some strength. I mean, it's heavy, and so I would bucket brigade in the water up at the barn for the animals, and that was part of my chores. And it was, if I could just say, it was hard work. In the summer, I sweat a little bit, and in the winter, it was difficult. It was hard work. And these stone jars, I don't know how much they weighed empty, but they're stone jars. I probably like planters, you know, they're heavy. And so with no water, I don't know, but with water in them, there'd be 160 to 250 pounds of water. So I don't know if a bunch of guys get around that and try to herk that. But the reality is you have to go down to the town square. I went outside the barn to the well. These servants had to go wherever this house was situated, this courtyard, and get to the town square where the town water well was to utilize and get the water. So they probably bucket brigaded in the water. And if they were using the 5-gallon buckets, I mean, one at a time, it's probably like 36 trips to the town well. And if you balance yourself with 2 5-gallon buckets, then it's 18 trips to the town well. How far was it? I don't know. It doesn't tell us, but it was a lot of work. Say work. We're just being super practical today, the week after Easter, where God moved in a powerful way, but we need to be reminded, wine can run out. They never asked why. Why do we have to do that, Jesus? Remember, he's never done a miracle before. He's the carpenter. A carpenter, the son of the wedding coordinator, is telling them what to do. She obviously had some sway because they just do whatever he says. He knows what he's doing. So they obeyed that. They were submitted and they were surrendered. They were full of faith. But they were going to sweat and they were going to work hard. This was going to take a while during this just crazy, awesome parties going on. And they don't say to Jesus, why do we have to do this? Just doesn't even make sense to do it this way. They didn't do that. And they could have, probably should have. I think I would have, but they don't. And I want to stop and pause here and just tell you how much I love our dream team here at Harvest. The servants of this house that come every Sunday, they work hard. Many coming at 7 o'clock in the morning, staying for 2 services. And they do it with excellence. Say excellence. They filled them 2 halfway. They did a half job. No, they did a job. These servants were servants of excellence, and they poured the water in until you couldn't fit any more in. Not another drop could you get in there, right to the brim. These were servants that did it to the brim. To the brim servants. But there's no miracle yet. They're still at a party. The wine is still going to run out. And here's the deal. There's more people drinking and enjoying the wine than there are people serving the wine. That's why the wine had run out. Yeah? Not enough people serving the wine. The ones serving are serving with excellence. But there's no miracle yet. Then he said, now fill your pitchers that they would have had. An individual pitcher that they would have gone table to table to serve the wine. And Jesus said, I want you to go into the stone they had bucket brigaded. Go into the stone pot now of what's been placed and filled up. Filled up. We got filled up. We're all filled up right to the brim. We come to Harvest and we enjoy this. It's great, man. You get filled here. It's awesome. You can get filled here. Man, when I come, I get filled to the brim and my week is better. And we understand that principle. And it's great to be filled to the brim. Do you enjoy being filled to the brim? Yeah, it's awesome. And never mind. Filled to the brim. But there's no miracle yet, because we're drinking the wine, but we're not making the wine. And so Jesus said, now fill your pitchers with what you're filled up with and take it to the master of ceremonies. And when they poured out the pitcher, it was water. They took water. And when they went to the master of ceremonies and said, I'm supposed to pour out. I don't know what, I'm just doing exactly what he said. It doesn't make sense to me. I'm standing in the parking lot and it's cold out here and people are coming in and they told me I'm on the dream team now and I wear a vest and that's cool. And I'm supposed to smile and I'm going to say hi to people and I'm going to welcome them to the house of God. And this just seems like water. This doesn't make sense to me. And and wine came out. The miracle is in the pouring. The miracle is not in the filling. The miracle is in the pouring. The miracle is not in the filling. We like the filling. It's good. We need it. But that's not where the miracle that produces the wine, that makes the sound, that causes the party and causes people to come and so on and so on. It comes in the pouring. Everybody making a difference with their life. You pouring out what Jesus has asked you to do. Well, Pastor, I thought that was your job. Isn't that why you work at the church? We all know that that's not true, because we've been doing this for a while. But this morning, I wanted to remind us that the miracle happens in the pouring. They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned to wine. He didn't realize where it came from. Well, the servants knew. The servants knew. The guests didn't know where it came from. The bride and the groom actually didn't know where it came from. Mary probably didn't know where it came from. Servants knew where it came from. And here, using the power of invitation, and I want to put out an invitation this morning that if you've been part of the dream team in another day and it's been a while since you've served, or you're here today and you haven't taken step one, which will be happening. We talk about step one all of the time. And at step one, you'll find out everything you need to know to continue your journey here at Harvest. And we'll talk to you about our four, know God, find freedom, make a difference. Excuse me. Yeah, you know what it is. I'm not even saying it. Know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference. And I want to invite you to our dream team, because it's the servants that see the miracles. And if you want to, thank you for being here. Thank you for being online. Thank you for drinking the wine. It is our privilege. We are here to throw a party, no questions asked. And this isn't like, hey, you better start serving or else. This is an invitation today. And what I'm trying to share through this story is, if you want to start seeing the miraculous, you want to start talking to people about miracles and seeing miracles take place, get on the dream team. Sign up and begin serving and pouring out. And it's as simple as, it starts as water. And you would think this doesn't even make sense to stand in the host team and be in the parking lot or at the door or signing in children or being a part of the children's ministry, who are a blank slate. So you get to see miracles every week when their little eyes open up and they go, oh, there's nothing like serving kids with spiritual things, because they're not going to go, I don't believe that. I don't think that's true at all. They're going to go, oh. And their little spiritual hearts get imprinted on. The production team, where online church is actually possible, and so many people have been added to Harvest because of our online church. Here in the room, part of that host team or the production team that helps create these environments where the party, and we love to serve everybody, but if you've been drinking the wine and you enjoy it, it says that the best wine, say the best wine, happens when servants go, I want to do this. Give me my picture. Yes, I want to be a part of the dream team. I want to be a part of, and there's so many teams, and there are teams behind the scenes. We're having a water baptism. Do you know there's like 10 people that are just involved in water baptism Sunday so that the baptismal candidate can have a beautiful testimony that we watch, have towels lovingly wrapped around them, and then there's a party in the back in the green room when they get out, and they hoot and holler, and there's a team that you get to witness something on that team that you will not witness anywhere else. I run back there to watch the people who are on the towel holding team. Why do I have to be on a towel holding team? They go and they get to see people who have just come out of the baptismal tank, and they're being affected by the Holy Spirit, and they go, as they put the towel around them, they go, can we pray together? Did you hear the word you got in the tank? This is amazing! This is amazing! Wow, that wine tastes really good! People are freely drinking this stuff, but man, it just gets better and better and better. And we as a church honestly should be getting better and better and better at this. And better and better. And the party's getting stronger and stronger. And we're not going to let the wine run out, because that's a problem. I have to set this stupid new thing so it never times out. Christina, remind me. 1960. All right. The servants see the miracles. You want to see miracles? I'm inviting you today to the dream team. What Jesus did here in Cana of Galilee was the first of the signs. What Jesus did here, well, what did he do? Well, the wine ran out. There was more people drinking than there were serving. There were servants at the party. That's good. They were good. They were excellent. They filled it to the brim. But I'm calling this morning. Would you partner with Jesus? He wants your help. It's not easy. It is hard work. We're not even going to hide that. Coming and you might serve in a service and then come out and be filled in a service. And we want you to do that. We want you to pour out and be filled. But when we make the decision from going to being filled to pouring out, you're going to see miracles. That's what Jesus showed us. It was the first of the signs through which was revealed his glory. And people believed in Jesus. Can I have the slide? I'm just going to ask right now, power of invitation, if you're here this morning, I'm inviting you. If it's been a while since you've served, you'd say, I've done the steps, but honestly, I haven't signed up. I get the planning center notices, but I haven't been involved. But I realize that he's called me. Do whatever he asks. And I'm asking by the Holy Spirit, what's he asking of you right now? If we put a pitcher in your hand, will you pour? Will you start to be a servant who pours? And you can help us out simply by texting to this number, 613-932-7320, your name, and then what team you would like to serve on. And we, production, host, kids, other, that's the team I want to pour out on. And I'd like you to just take your phones out right now, right in this. And I just, let me pray. Father, I just ask by your Holy Spirit, not under compulsion, but you love a cheerful pourer, a cheerful giver. And throughout this room, Lord, as we were excited by last week, the wine is so good. Lord, and thank you. Lord, I thank you that the wine at Harvest, because we have committed servants, and the wine is so good. And even though people are freely drinking, it just gets better and better and better. Lord, let it be in this house that people can freely drink. Lord, that if another 50 people were added because of Easter, they're freely drinking. That's what they're here to do. We want them to freely drink and never worry about what it takes to put the party on until they begin to grow. They find out of this beautiful invitation to be on the dream team. For those of us, Lord, that understand how this works today, I'm asking by your Holy Spirit that the voice that was from Mary to Jesus to us, do whatever he says. And he said, pour out the wine. Be a part of the miracle all across this room, I pray right now in Jesus' name. And everyone said, just before we go today, if you're here today and you've never given your life to Jesus, I'm going to pray a simple prayer. If you just from your heart, pray, we're not repeating together today, but if you would just pray a prayer like this, we believe you can be born again. And if you pray this prayer, you're online today, say, I'm making a decision for Jesus today. I want to know God. I want to know him the way you're talking about. Invite him into your life by praying this way. Dear Jesus, I know that I am a sinner and I need a Savior. You died on the cross for me. Last week I learned about it at Easter. Come into my life. Cleanse me. Wash me. Give me a new beginning. I receive my new born again life today in Jesus' name. Everyone said, if you prayed a prayer like that from your heart, you are born again. See somebody in a black shirt. They want to give you a Bible today. Stand to your feet. We're going to be dismissed in just a moment.
Come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy when you look at yourself. It's you that lies inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Oh, don't you get shy on me, lift up your soul. You've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me, lift up your soul. You've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise.
Ministry team is going to be at the front and they're ready to serve some wine. They're ready to have some miracles take place. And our Good Friday service too, and Doug Kreitz came forward for prayer. And so it was kind of interesting. Doug had a prayer request and then Sue said, Doug told me I should come up here to pray for my pain in my hip. And I looked and I said, Doug told you to do that? Well, he's a good man, that Doug. Let me tell you. And I said, do you want to be healed? And, you know, Jesus asked, and of course she did, and she received prayer, but I'm making a point. I said, Sue, decide this week that you don't have to tolerate pain in your body. And some of us, we push through stuff. And I said, it might be an annoying pain, and Doug said, no, it can be, she can grimace in pain. And we prayed, and I just asked, are you still walking in your healing? And I got the report earlier this week, as Doug came in, so excited, in a party-like attitude in my office. Sue has had zero pain in her hip since we prayed. And Jesus does that. So why wouldn't you come up and get and drink freely of the wine of the Holy Spirit that's being poured out? Gray, are you on ministry team this week? Wouldn't you love to pour out some wine? Pray for somebody to get healed? Yeah, okay. So the altars are open. I hope you will come and get free wine today, because that's what we do at Harvest. Christina's going to dismiss our service in prayer, but when she says amen, would you hoot and holler as if you've been to a party today and you really enjoyed it? Would you do that? And let just prophetically, the sound of the party will go into the region.
Father, we just thank you for this service this morning. God, more than thanking you for this service, God, we thank you for this room full of servants.
Yes, Lord.
God, ready to step into their destiny, ready to step into their mission, ready to put their armor on. down and say, God, I'll serve, I'll give, I'll go wherever you send me.
Yes.
Father, I pray for this body of Christ in this auditorium this morning. We just pray that as we go, you'll just keep everybody safe and bring us back next week. In your name we pray, amen. Be blessed, Harvest.